The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jenkins, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Footy Prime presents Today in Footy History. 1998, the Ballon d'Or is awarded to Zinedine Zidane for best player in Europe ahead of Ronaldo and Davor Suka. 2020, Argentine soccer superstar Lionel Messi scores his 644th goal for FC Barcelona, breaking Pele's record for most goals for one club. Pele was 643 goals for Santos from 56 to 74. And finally, December 22nd, 2023, David Beckham is awarded Best Hair by GC Magazine out of Korea. This has been Today in Footy History.
Best Hair. Now, which Beckham hair was that?
It was actually Best Plugs.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
I don't think it was the plug. He had the cornrows. That was the worst he did.
I had cornrows.
Oh, JC, did you?
They are awful. It was really bad.
What era was that?
2006, I think.
Okay, we have to see a picture of this.
Do it again.
Yeah. I could. I got the heart for it.
Come on, JC. You got to find a picture.
I will. Sit tight.
That might be horrifying. It's Footy Prime. It's Craig Forrest. Jimmy Brennan's here. I'm Shams. That's JC. Wonga's on the road somewhere between Toronto and Ottawa. Dubsy is sick. And as JC said, not sick, but actually sick. There's a nasty cold going around, and it's felled our poor Dubs. But we shall soldier on without her and without Wonga regardless. Zidane, you mentioned there. 98, right? Was that the year, 98? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's right, Craig, Jimmy, right in the heart of your careers. Would you say, I'm trying to think back, like in the late 90s.
Not the heart of my career.
Not the heart.
No, I guess you're a little bit younger. That's right. Were you over in England though in 98?
Yeah, I was just a little guy.
Okay, so you were part of the culture over there. So Dan was the man, wasn't he, at that point? 98. Ronaldo was kind of getting towards the end, the first Ronaldo. Right, Craig? I think Zidane was the man. He just won the World Cup, right, in 98.
Yeah, he was. But Ronaldo was still the man, too.
I suppose he was at that point. Yeah. He's just coming off of the leg break, right? Or was it knee?
Yeah, he had that knee problem that hindered him for a long time.
Yeah. But as footballers, I mean, in that era, Jimmy, I know it's a long time ago, you were young, but was it those two and then the rest? Figo was up there too, wasn't he, around that time, as being the best player in the world?
Yeah. Yeah. Figo. I think for myself back then, I loved Ryan Giggs.
Mm.
Ryan Giggs was the guy for me.
That was a great generation of players. Late 90s, yeah. Maybe because I was young and I was just kind of breaking into the whole media world at that point, like just starting out before I was on air. But that kind of collection of greats, I mean, Beckham was obviously up there as well. United were dominating, Scholes, that Roy Keane. The whole United team. And then on the continent, I mentioned there's Zidane, Figo, Ronaldo, Pavel Nedved.
All right.
Who else was like bossing it back then? Throw me some names out, guys.
Oh, Boban.
Boban.
Šuker.
Yeah.
Šuker, favorites. But also at that time, Serie A was the best league in the world. It was unbelievable back then.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. I mean, well, wasn't Shevchenko was AC Milan, wasn't he, back in 98?
Shevchenko, yeah.
Rude Hullet. There. Yeah, Rude Hullet. Totti at Roma.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I loved and I hated Totti. I had to get in such trouble with viewers when I first broke into the on-air hosting role because I used to hammer Totti for his diving and his embellishments. Even though I loved the guy, I just hammer him and I get so much abuse. The first abuse I got as a broadcaster came from Italian fans from the Serie A because of my opinions towards Francesco Totti and his behavior in the pitch, his antics. And as a young broadcaster, it used to kind of affect me, like, man, these people hate me.
Yeah. You learn very quickly. Don't have a go at the Italians.
Yeah. They defend their own.
Oh, do they ever?
I might have been one of those guys that...
It probably was you. You
sent a note hammering you because I liked Roma at the time.
Montella, man, Fernando Montella. Fernando Montella? No, Francesco Montella. Yeah. What's Montella's first name, Jimmy? Help me out. The airplane. Remember the celebration?
Was it Francesco?
Francesco Montella. Let me look it up. Keep talking about something. Find some more. Throw some more names out there.
Oh.
Craig Forrest.
Vincenzo. Vincenzo Montella.
Vincenzo.
Vincenzo Montella.
Who's the... This is back then when Parma was very good as well.
Yes, that's Buffon.
Buffon was a goal. Who was the Swedish striker that they had?
Oh boy, yes, it was. Oh, it wasn't Ibra, but it was before Ibra. He was incredible.
Larsson?
No, Larsson wasn't at Parma.
Oh,
oh my God, Parma.
Look him up because he's a Swedish striker that played for Parma. He was
Brolin.
Oh, Brolin's a good call, but no, I think it's a little bit after Brolin's time, right? I think.
No, he was a Swedish striker for Parma '98.
Uh-huh. Oh, was he? He was, yeah.
It was Brolin.
Okay, there you go, Thomas Brolin.
Thomas Brolin.
Nice one, JC. Thank you. You know the '90s. If you remember the '90s, you weren't there. So it's easy to, get a little bit confused. I'm trying to think who else I used to revere back in those days. Oh, who was a Chilean? Zamorano.
Zamorano, yeah.
Yeah, Fiorentina were a good team back then.
Yeah.
Batistuta.
Ah, that's the one I was trying to think of.
Also,
Fiorentina. And I think Roma too, right?
Wasn't Caniggia there too?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, what about this guy was there?
Oh, look at those cornrows. Oh, JC.
Yes.
Oh, my. Okay, we have to put this on socials because those listening
will
have to consume all of this.
Look at that. Who did you used to hang out with, Snow?
Yeah, actually, the girl who did them was the hairdresser for the rap artist Belly, who was a big rapper in the mid-2010s, I guess. Yeah,
man. So what inspired you, JC? Was it Beckham?
Yeah, probably.
Wow. My boy showed that he could actually have cornrows and look half decent.
I don't know what I was thinking. I really don't. I was single. Very, very.
No shit.
Yeah,
there
was definitely very, very single.
For a long time or?
Well, I just recently become single. And so I was like, I could never do my hair.
Oh, this is a breakup.
But I was also the lead singer in a band. And so I had a deflated or an inflated sense of whatever.
Okay, so what kind of band were you? Tell me it's like Rage Against Machine-y. Because, I mean, you could get away with the cornrows. Even kind of a ragey kind of, no?
It was just like kind of
dance hall. Poppy,
punk, pop, dance hall, folk, Swedish. 98.
Sweet night, Thomas Brolin.
Yeah.
Now, good for you, man. I mean, listen, JC's one to always experiment with his hair. And you got the style to pull it off. Not many of us do.
Well, it wasn't just up top.
Your ass cheek?
Yeah, I braided that together. I call it the netting.
I'm looking at a picture now of Gabriel Batistuta. He's aged. How dare he? He should still be looking like the Batistuta of 98 with the long, greasy hair.
Yeah.
And the Alice band. But yeah, I love that era of football. I really did. It was just those personalities. And maybe I'm getting old and getting more, miserable, but it just doesn't seem there's the same personalities now. Is that fair, do you think? Are they more robotic? Are they more concerned about their images than before? What do you think?
I don't know. Probably. Different world. Social media changed that.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess there's still some, right? I mean, okay, Erling Haaland is a character. He would have fit into the Prem or the Serie A beautifully in the late 90s. He's just that. He's got that presence about him. He's got the new video out. If you check his YouTube channel, he dressed up as Santa Claus, surprised some kids. It's lovely. But he's just got that personality, right? Even on the pitch. And what he's doing right now is otherworldly again, isn't it? 2 goals, 1 assist this weekend. That's 19 in 17 games this season so far for Man City. Meanwhile, on the continent, Kylian Mbappe, he equals Ronaldo's total record for goals in a calendar year at Real Madrid of 59 goals. 59. Harry Kane got 51. Jimmy and I covered that yesterday for One Soccer. 51 goals in the calendar year. Now, I know Messi and Ronaldo are still playing, Jimmy. I get that. You know, and it's until they retire, I guess you could still say it's their era. But it feels like the poster boys of football now, would it be Haaland? Would it be Mbappe?
I think, yeah, maybe Haaland could be the poster boy right now because I think he's got a personality that would kind of suit being that modern day footballer, just the hair, the presence, you know, on his social media. But it's hard to compare because I think when you looked at the top guys back in the day, they just had so much more about them, didn't they? More, you know, the style, the attitude, the personalities. You know, when you start looking at, you know, the best strikers back then, and, you know, say you're talking about like Baggio and who else was a top striker that had wicked personality back then, like the Ronaldo.
Yeah, I mean, Ronaldo would be one, right?
They were just different. You know, you look at Maldini, you know, Roberto Carlos and Figo. They just had a presence.
Swagger.
They had something about them, didn't they? Just more like machismo, you know?
Yeah. But is it because we saw them less often? Now we're just saturated by players' brand. Everywhere you look, there's Ronaldo, there's, you know, whoever it's going to be. Whereas back in those days, it was kind of once a week you got a chance to see them, if you're lucky. And if you didn't watch the Serie A, you'd watch some of these guys every 2 years at a Euro, or every 4 years. Or in the Champions League, obviously. It wasn't stuffed down your throat like brands are nowadays. So when you did see them, it had more weight to it.
Yeah, I think you could be right with that. I think now it's just, I mean, you see them so often now, don't you? It's almost like they're your friends because you see them so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What it is.
Everybody's accessible.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, it used to be too that photos, like there'd be a couple of photos, like of them, say after a game or at the going into the club or something, and there was like one or two pictures. Where now they're posting 50 pictures a day themselves, right? They're everywhere. There was mystery to it, right?
Yeah,
like Jimmy said, you didn't, yeah. You know,
that's swagger. The word mystery.
And you could have swagger because it was perceived swagger. It wasn't, you know, they had this mythical, you know, thing about them because you didn't know every single thing about them and you didn't see them all the time.
And I think you're right. I think when there was a picture of, say it was Luis Figo leaving a club, getting into a car, and it's snapped by paparazzi or some fan, that was so much cooler than checking out Ronaldo's Instagram feed where he's got 3 million photographs that he's procured, he's taken himself, or someone he's paid to take us off. It's just like this mystery. There's an element of mystery. Like, oh, we caught this guy by surprise. That's where he is. I like it far more in the old days. God, we sound old right now, but times do change, right? I mean, would you guys, Craig, I mean, if you were a footballer nowadays, would you have gone about your business any differently?
Would I do things differently?
Yeah.
He would have got cornrows.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, you have some star athletes that keep themselves to themselves and are a little bit of a mystery. then you got other ones that sort of let you Easter off into their lives a little bit more, which I think actually has helped build the game. You look at what they've done with clubs and documentaries and things like that, giving people an inside look into the club and what that looks like. And I think people appreciate that.
Yeah, that's a good point. That fly in the wall stuff, you see it more often now. There were some classic documentaries back in the 90s, though. Famous ones, right, which were great because you weren't used to it. But now you do see it more. Amazon's done a great job. Netflix done a great job. Some of those. Although, I mean, are they really flying the wall? I mean, you wonder how much is contrived.
Hey, nothing real about reality TV.
Yeah, exactly. All right. If you were playing, though, you know, and suddenly your manager comes and goes, okay, fellas, we've got a deal with Netflix, and starting next season or next week, whenever, there's going to be cameras following us around everywhere in the training pitch on match days. Would you have liked that, Craig? Would you have embraced that, or would that have pissed you off?
No, I'd be okay with it. Yeah, I want to see the final cut, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Sex would be in the shower all the time.
But would you be yourself, Jimmy, do you think? Or once those cameras are on, I mean, I guess you get used to them to a certain degree, but they keep talking about the sanctity of the locker room. It's the player only, yeah. You know, the one place you need that. Do you want cameras in there? You coach as well. I mean,
at the end of the day, if the club's going to do it, you got no choice. So you got to go with it. Would you like a camera in your face all the time? Me personally, no, I wouldn't like it. And then at the same time, you just got to be careful what you do and what you say, don't you? Thing is now when the cameras are around, you can't be yourself, can you? Because everybody's worried, you know, if I say the wrong thing here, if I do something silly, it's going to bite me in the ass, because once it goes on the internet, that's it. It lives forever. So sometimes, you know, you do those shows and you don't really get the true individual's character.
JC, we should do a fly in the wall documentary of Freddie Bryan, you know, behind the scenes. I mean, it'd be really boring, but it would also probably, there'd be enough there to get us, make us unhirable, forward ever again by anyone.
Well, all we have to do is publish the dark web.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. That would be it.
No, who's going to prison first?
I'd tell you, it'd be good if they filmed us on a night out.
Yeah. Because
the banter's off the chart. Mm.
But here's something. So when I'm watching athletes now, they're always talking into their shirts, right?
Like yeah.
Into their, but when did that start? Because it used to be you'd get great snippets. You could see that they're like, fuck, right? But like, and it's, but now they do that so you can't read their lips. But how long has that happened? Like, did you guys ever do that? Did you talk into your shirts?
No.
No.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I think it's the last few years, JC. It's very recent.
I think so.
Right? Very recent. I hate it as well. Like, what are you trying to hide? Is it you might offend someone, or you're trying to hide, you know, instructions, and you might give something away? Probably that bullshit, which has become so over the top in football. Mm. This over-importance, self-importance about what we're doing behind closed doors, or, you know, within our room, is so important. We can't let anyone have even the slightest hint of what we might do, because that will break our system. I hate it. Mm. You're not that important.
Yeah, but the thing is too, Sharm, is like, if we were on the field and after a match and I said, played against Stax, and I was in London, and I walked over to him and was like, hey, where are we going? Where are we going tonight, big man? We're going to Spearmint Rhino? I'll meet you there at 9.
Yeah. Or like, so-and-so is an absolute wanker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It was never an issue before, though. I can't remember anyone getting in trouble for having their lips read on a football pitch. Or is it now? No. Because if there wasn't social media, right? So if during the game you get exposed, okay, but it wasn't going any further than that.
Yeah. Right? You see it in baseball a lot. Baseball there.
Mm. But that's, the pitchers for sure. And that's been for years, though. Because I guess in baseball, pitch selection is such an important thing. You know what I hate in hockey? And I see it. Maybe other sports, but I see it so much now. It is on the bench, players finish their shift and they get the iPad out straight away. It drives me crazy. Like, do you really need to assess the last play? I'm sure most of them are just seeing how good they looked as opposed to, you know, how were they defended? what was the defensive strategy of the defense when they were breaking in over the blue? I don't think it was that. I think it's really like how that shot I just missed top right. How cool was that? But it, like, be engaged in the game.
Yeah, it's like watching porn when you're having sex.
A little bit. Yeah, like during.
But like on your phone. Yeah.
Or watching sports while you're having sex is even worse.
Sure.
What are you doing? It's just the third period's about to start.
Yeah.
So you don't embrace the technology then, Charms?
I don't mind. I'm fine with technology. It's just during the game, I want to see the players completely engaged in what's happening as opposed to looking. And it says, okay, once or twice, I understand it. Okay, you know, a coach might want to show a player something. But if I'm watching the Leafs, I mean, God damn it, that's painful to watch, by the way. But you watch the Leafs, every player gets back to the bench straight away, iPad looking. Plays going on. They're looking at their iPad.
Yeah. Well, they're not watching the news.
Maybe they are.
They're totally engaged in the game. They're just,
I don't know if they are.
At the last play.
Engaged in how good they're looking or not looking. That's what they're engaged in. How good did that little dipsy doodle look on air? That's what I think they care about. You wouldn't use your iPad?
I don't know about that. No, I think they're. I know they're not looking to see how good they look. What a nice move that was.
Really, I think you're completely wrong there.
No.
Have you watched the Leafs this year? There's an issue with that team as far as how much they really care about the actual game itself.
I think they're looking at just different situations that occurred during that play. And where's the space? You know, what are defenders doing? How can I come into certain areas? And I think they're analyzing that shift. Just, you know, they've saw something and they come back and they'll have a look just to see what they could have done better.
How ever could they have got on without it? My God, how did they ever get to play hockey or any sport without that then? Wow.
Because the game's evolved. There's more resources now to help you out and make you better.
Is sport better now than it was? Is it really?
Well, I think it's faster. Games, all sports are getting faster. Players are getting sharper and more agile. And I think the thought process is getting quicker.
Is football better? That's great. Is possession, like Pep has brought in this possession dominant brand of football. Is it actually better to watch than run and gun, go, 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 that we saw perhaps in the Prem prior to Pep? I'm not sure it is. It's more technical. It's more skillful. It's brilliant. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. is it, as a product to watch?
Man City at their very best is like what we used to see with Barcelona back in the day. And possession base, great pressure. Pitches have made a big difference with the hybrid pitches that are just like absolute carpets.
Yeah.
Made a big change in the game.
Look, I think when you talk about possession, there's only certain teams that play like that, Charms, and that can play like that. You know, a lot of other teams. And now there's so much, the tactical side is evolved so much as well in the game with the formations and the way the teams are going to play. You know, and if you are playing against, for instance, a Bayern Munich or a Man City, or you're playing against Real Madrid, their teams are going to have a lot of possession. Other teams tend to bunker in a little bit. They end up playing a counter-attack style of football. You know, and two mid-table teams, they're not playing possession-based football. They're playing, you know, more of a dynamic kind of get forward quicker than because the games open up and the teams are even. But that whole possession stuff, it's certain teams that play that way and that can play like that. Because if you told a West Ham or a Forest or certain other teams, oh, yeah, we're going to have to keep the ball for 80% of the match, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. You do see too many clubs try to play that when they don't have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
But the problem with it is not so much the team playing that way. It's the team that has to sit back now because they can't compete. So they're sitting back in a deep block And it's just forcing the skill team to pass the ball sideways and backwards to try and find some space. And that can really just lead to a pretty boring product to watch.
Yeah, but
that's my problem.
Look at Forest last year. Forest didn't care about having possession, but they were a counterattack team and they were brilliant to watch and ended up getting into Europe because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I actually enjoy watching because you're just thinking, okay, when are they going to break? When are they going to go? And then when they do go, they go with numbers and it's exciting.
No, I agree. When you're able to, like Leicester did it and won a championship playing that way.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right. It is, but not many teams have that ability to react so quickly and break in such numbers or have the balls, quite honestly.
Yeah.
A lot of teams, well, you look at Leicester and they were best when they didn't have the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they averaged, what, 30% possession that season?
That's right.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not ripping on the modern game. I love the modern game, but I'm just saying it's changed. And, you know, having starting this podcast, throwing back to the late 90s and some of those characters and personalities made me feel all nostalgic for a simpler time. That's all. I'm sure I bitched about it then as well. We all did. But hey.
Yeah,
you did. Never happy, really. The sports
that's why
fan.
You got so, that's why you got so many messages.
Yeah, exactly. God, you're miserable.
Yeah.
hey, John David, you got Player of the Year. Vanessa Gilles as well. We discussed the Player of the Year a lot last week. Our finalists. No one had John David winning. Now, listen, I don't think there's any doubt that he's... Well,
sorry, still... technically I did because I said they all should win it.
Well, that's right, you did. They should share the award.
You're welcome.
Well done. So aside from JC, no one had John David winning Player of the Year. Not to dismiss him because clearly he's, you know, top two players in Canada when he's on form for sure. But just looking at the last season, if you remove Juventus from the equation and playing for Canada through the summer, he actually did have a decent season. The start of the year, he was very, very good for Canada. And obviously at Lille, he was outstanding. 8 goals and 5 assists for Lille in 2025. For Canada, 14 games, 6 goals, 2 assists. He was also the CONCACAF Player of the Year, right? Back in November, he was given that award. But it does seem that the voting was leaning very heavily on the first part of the year with him, mm-hmm. which is fine. Should anyone give a shit? Really? Craig, I mean, in individual awards, team sport, I don't really care about it that much. Give it to him. Doesn't bother me. But looking at our conversation last week, JC aside, no one had him winning it. Did the voters get it wrong?
No. I don't think they would have got it wrong if it was Richie Larea or Tejon Buchanan either.
Yeah. I mean, they were all worthy of it, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
I had Richie Larea and Holly Ward. Those were mine too.
Right. Right. Anyway, congratulations to John David, Vanessa Gilles. Mm-hmm. They get the awards. We're going to have a little a Christmas quizzy type thing. If not tomorrow, then on Christmas Eve. And we're going to probably hand out our favorite host, favorite host of the year, favorite guest on the pod award at some point. I'm not sure how we're going to structure it just yet, but we'll give that a whirl. So stay tuned for that.
That's got to be Razor, by the way.
Yeah, but he wasn't on this year, was he? He wasn't on this year. Was he?
He's got to be the all-time.
all-time. For sure.
Yeah.
But we have to get him back because James, you weren't there for that.
I wasn't. No, I missed the Razor experience.
It was unbelievable, man.
Let's call it the Razor Ruddock Award. How about that? We named the award after him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it should be.
That's what we'll do. The Razor Ruddock Award.
Cut a whole bunch out, didn't we?
Oh my God, probably the whole thing. I never cringed so much in my life. I was like, oh my God, this guy's unbelievable.
Is that available still, Dave, JC? Can we repost that? We should make it over Christmas, over New Year's. One of the best offs, just repost it.
Done.
Off the top.
Yeah.
Back by popular demand, Razor Ruddock. You know.
Well, Craiger, can you shoot him a message and grab him back on?
Sure.
I mean, why not? He's great.
On the modern game? Like, times have changed, right? He must have been, what, 3 years ago he was on? 4 years
yeah.
ago?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, must be.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll hand out the Razor Ruddock Award later this week. Our favorite guest this year in Footy Prime. Speaking of, I think it might be Promise David, but Promise David scored again this weekend for Union Saint-Gilloise. 6 goals in, I think, his last 9 games, Jimmy. This guy, yeah. I mean, a lot of people actually had him just through social media, the fans thinking he should have got Player of the Year. And he didn't do enough for Canada. That's why he didn't get it. But from his club form, absolutely in that conversation. Why doesn't Jesse Marsh give him more of an opportunity so far? Is it just because of the style of football and the ability to do it for a full 90 minutes? Is that Promise's biggest issue?
Well, when did he come on the scene, really? It was this summer, right?
Like he committed earlier this year, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, he must have been last year, 2024, he committed. But it was a big deal when he announced that, yeah, I'm committing to Canada. And it was only within the last 2 years anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's only recently in the last 15, 16 months that he's really put himself in the shop window for Canada. And then with Laren kind of dipping a little bit, it's kind of in that, you know, what do we do up front? Who partners David? I sure hope David wins the Player of the Year next year, because if he does, it's going to be a good sign that we did okay at the World Cup.
That's a great point, isn't it? As far as most important players and who has to have a big year, who has to have a big World Cup, it has to be Jonathan David, doesn't it? Out of anyone, really? I think that's a good point. Looking at this squad, and doesn't he have to have the biggest World Cup out of anyone for this team to be successful?
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah, arguably the most important player going into the World Cup. But he needs service. He does, and he hasn't really had a lot of that in the last few games.
Yeah, that's true.
His confidence is probably a little bit down with Juventus trying to battle and get in that squad. Juve has been getting results. He's been getting a little bit of time, but he's still coming off the bench for the most part.
Did you see the stupid rumors last week, right? We discussed them about being phased out by the veterans at Juve, but Spalletti came out and said, well, yeah, he put mozzarella, put Parmesan on a seafood pasta dish. Of course he got frozen out. I like it. Now it got me thinking, though. I'm pretty sure I put Parmesan on seafood pasta dishes. Is that wrong?
Yes.
It is, yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you don't need it.
You do. You need Parmesan and everything.
What's wrong with that? A little Parmesan on anything is a good idea.
Yeah, right? It is.
Yeah, when I put ketchup on it.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
But going back to Promise David, I'm looking forward to see how he does when they play Bayern Munich. I think it's January 21st in Champions League. That'd be a great one to see how he holds up against a top team like that.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Watching Bayern, I mean, yesterday with me and Jimmy were on One Soccer doing the match against Heidenheim. Jimmy was saying to me, you got to watch this kid, Leonard Karl, this young 17-year-old kid, before the match. You know, just watch him. And I did. And my God, Jimmy, you're right. He just is so hungry for that ball. He has no fear about attacking players one-on-one. He's 17 years old. Maybe it's youthful naivety, perhaps, in some regard. But he's just fun to watch. I mean, we discussed it on the show yesterday very briefly, but you look at some of the talent coming through world football and the next generation of stars. This kid is in the right team, getting big minutes at one of the greatest clubs in world football. Do you think this kid will be a face of the game within 2 or 3 years?
Personally, yeah. I think the kid's unbelievable. I haven't seen anybody that plays the way that this guy does. I mean, I've said before, this guy controls the pitch. He controls the game. He plays like he's 30 years old and has won a World Cup and won Champions League. It's incredible just how good this guy is and how he sees a game at such a young age. And just the players around him, you know, Olise and Luis, Luis Diaz, just the belief that they have in this kid. where they give him the ball in tight areas, knowing he's going to get out of it. But I think when you look at that Bayern squad, I don't think I've seen a squad that's like that in God knows how long. And just in that game yesterday, they had Carl, who's 17. They brought in Santos, making his debut at 18. They brought Kiala, who came on at 17. Then they had Wisdom Mike, who was like 17. Mike. No, that Kiala was he's 16.
16
that came on. So they at one point in the match had four or five players that were all under the age of 18 that came on. 16, 17, and 18. It was unbelievable, the squad that they have. I mean, they're going to be ridiculous over the next number of years, but it just goes to show you the development that they have there. And then also just how young the game is getting. You know, and it's not just Bayern Munich. It's teams all around the world.
And the young, so young local kids too, right? They're local kids, a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
They're not like, you know, just procuring these young players from other clubs, you know, partially developed or completely developed. They're working them through their system.
Yeah, but what are they doing? I mean, for a kid that's 16 and go, okay, you're ready to play for Bayern Munich. On you go. It's unbelievable.
Well, you were saying, Jimmy, how impressive it is that, you know, it's a veteran team still, despite having these young faces, it's a veteran team, but how those established, battle-worn elder players are still happy to give the ball to these guys, Leonard Carl in particular. Here, you take the ball. And in a football team, that isn't always the case.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Again, and then the training is what they're doing now and what they're learning at such a young age, and the tactical and technical ability of these guys are just far beyond their years.
This kid, Kiela, so he came from Hertha Berlin, actually, last year. Like, you know, 15 years of age, just very, very young. So these big clubs are getting these kids at a very young age and sticking them in their academy because they're better off there than perhaps playing at a – maybe playing more first-team football. Is it better for a kid like Kiela, do you think, Craig, to jump into the Bayern academy where you're probably training with the first team is quite a lot, that then playing for first-team football for a lower division team, but you're playing first-team football?
What, playing for their academy as opposed to
in the Bayern system? I mean, I know Kiela, for example, made his debut this weekend. Yeah. But forget that for a second. Yeah, working your way through the ranks there, as opposed to playing first team football lower down.
Well, I mean, eventually, if they're good enough to get into the first team at Bayern Munich, that's one thing. If they're not, or they think they need some development, then send them out on loan. They're not afraid of playing young players, quite clearly. And that's also good for recruitment, too, that if you're giving players a chance and getting recruited, it's like, you know, even as big as Bayern are, they still push players through. That hasn't always been the case with some of the big clubs. You go to a big club, Man United's had their time, of course, but if you go there, there's a lot of great players that are released.
Yeah, well, look, how many
different players? It's easier for bigger clubs to entice players in, too. I mean, look at London, for instance, and then all those big clubs that are all competing for those players around the London area, primarily. A team like Brentford is like, we can't compete with that. Nobody's coming to us unless they don't make Spurs or Chelsea or West Ham or Arsenal. You know, it goes on. So they've just completely changed their philosophy on how they develop and look at all the players and go, well, Chelsea can't keep all of them. They try. Mm-hmm. They can't keep all of them. And we'll just slip in and look for somebody that's a late developer or somebody that they think can compete at that level. But were released by those big clubs.
Yeah. Well, Man City is the team, right, as well. Like you see it every weekend in the Premier League, some young guy in some other club coming through. And, oh, he came from the Man City system years ago. You know, they started to commit money towards that academy years ago now. And you're seeing the fruits of it as well. Chelsea as well, to a certain degree, like you said. It's a good way to invest your money if you're a football club, that's for sure. It's a business at that point. And like, yeah, you might lose a Cole Palmer who becomes a world-class footballer somewhere else.
Exactly. You know,
there's going to be those guys, right? But as long as you win championships, who cares?
Yeah. Mo Salah, he was at Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm looking at these players that came on yesterday for Bayern, Jimmy, and like they're all German kids, right? They're all from Munich in the area. And they all have, you know, U15, 16, 17, 21 level football for Germany. This team, Germany, is going to be one to watch the next decade, isn't it?
God.
Once again.
They usually get it right. I mean, they've had a spell where they haven't, and then they do shit, and they're very proactive and try to how they change things to get back on top. And it doesn't usually take them very long.
Yeah.
We should start a podcast academy. Some of the young kids out there, nurture them slowly, bring them through the ranks to slowly take over from us old fuckers.
Mm.
Soon, hopefully.
There's a lot of them.
Old fuckers or kids coming through?
Oh, not as many as there used to be. The old fuckers.
No. We're dying off one by one.
Well, we got our boy Thomas.
Yeah, he'd be the one. He's the Leonard Carl, isn't he, of the media world?
I think so.
Yeah.
Is Thomas even 17? Yeah, I don't think he is. He might be 17 now, 16, 17. Around there, anyway.
Yeah.
A starlet, as they say in the game. In Hollywood, though, a starlet is a female actress, right? But in soccer, it's just a young footballer. And the podcast world, obviously, a young podcaster.
Well, then starling, which is a bird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And starling was the last name of Jodie Foster's character, was it not, in Silence of the Lambs?
Clarice. Wow. Clarice Starling.
I think it was Clarice Starling, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Doing? Jodie Foster?
Yeah, how's she doing?
She's doing great, I think.
I should get her on the pod.
We should get her on the pod.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, listen, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Mm. Well, I will say, like a guy like Thomas that we know very well, young guy wants to get in the media business. I just hope that there's places for guys like that and women like that, because the business has changed so much that it's difficult to make a living at it for these guys.
Yeah, but they come in cheap. That helps, Craig.
But that's
that really
best,
helps.
But that's kind of the best part of it, is that the media that we're in now, or that we've been, you know, you guys came from, and that I came from, well, whatever, it's going to be completely different in the next 10, 15 years. Like, it's the way people consume their media is changing drastically. And I think the traditional media, it's just, they're scrambling. They're like, well, how do we compete with, because there's so many young kids out there who are doing TikTok and YouTube and Instagram, and they're crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's, like Craig, I think they're having to do it themselves, and they're going to do it really well.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And and it's only a matter of time before the, you know, the people we're talking about are going to be like, oh, did we miss the boat on this? Because we're now getting outshone by, you know, by the social media, which is not going to be social media anymore. It's going to be social. I mean, it's
just media.
It's just media. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be right. Very interesting to see.
I think the boat's already been pushed out. It's already well on its way. Let's be honest. It's changing so quickly. And, you know, I mean, even back in traditional media's heyday, there weren't many, for example, sports broadcasters. There weren't many of them, really. Just as many YouTube influencers now talking about sports.
If not way more.
Probably way more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And monetizing it as well.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and then listen, AI, the day of the AI sports broadcaster is just around the corner.
Well, there's someone said this to me yesterday, that there's a morning show host on radio in, I think, Buffalo, where I'm at, like right next to me. That's AI.
There is radio. TV,
radio,
really? Just reading out the news, or
no? It's like it's an actual host. I don't know.
Really? But
this is what I hear.
Well, I mean, if it, I'm assuming it's there, but if it's not, we're probably months away from it happening in some capacity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Humans suck. We're the worst. We're unreliable. We're lazy. We get sick.
Dubs. Feel better, Dubs.
AI doesn't get sick.
Nope, never get sick, and it gets better and better with each show. Learns. We don't get better and better with each show. We get worse, more jaded, and angry and upset. We're too emotional. You don't need emotion in.
You're getting AI writing articles now too.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Like, what happens to writer? I mean, AI is going to kill.
It's happening already. 80%
of jobs. I mean,
match reports and game reports. You don't need a human to do that anymore.
But it's there's a way to stop it too, and that's to recognize what's AI and what's not, and only consume the stuff that's not. Like, I, as a voice actor, I'm very aware of all the videos that I see on social media, et cetera, or media, where it's a guy talking and it's all fake. And it's only a matter of time before someone steals my jobs on the TV shows, where they're like, this guy's trying to cross the border. But,
yeah, but you know, Jason, you're right, but they're getting better all the time. You know, that's AI. Yeah. It's improving. It's learning from its mistakes all the time. And right now you can tell an AI voice like that is obvious.
Yeah.
But give it a year and you won't. They'll make it a little bit imperfect to make it a bit more human.
Mm-hmm.
We're all doomed.
Good God. I want to go to bed.
Doomed.
Learn AI. I'm a kid. Learn AI. Learn how to use AI. That's the way, you know, you made.
Well, that's what we need. We don't need these young up and coming podcaster media kids. We just need a bunch of AI kids.
Yeah. Sorry, Tom. You're done. You're yesterday's news.
Oh, hopefully AI doesn't take over players.
Well, how long before what you're watching on a match, you won't be able to tell whether it's a real match or not. The videos that are being created now by AI, you can't tell the difference if it's real or not. Most 90% of videos I see on Instagram or TikTok now aren't real. It's AI now. It's crazy. And people believe this shit.
True. They do. I think it'll become less and less. They'll figure it out. But at the moment, there's lots of videos out there of people that are taken for real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you control it? How do you stop that? I mean, you can stop it as far as using someone's personal identity. There's going to be a way to prevent that. They can put laws in effect to prevent that. Give yourself rights to your own identity, which sounds crazy. But when you're creating new people, new personalities, new athletes, you won't be able to tell.
No, music is going to, what's it going to do to the music industry?
Well, it's already doing it. There's so much music that's, there's no much music anymore. Too bad. But there's so much music out there that's like, you can listen to it and you know that it's blueprint. Like it's made. Like, you say to a computer, write me a hit, you know, jingly song. And then they can add, you know, a singer adds to it, or it's just straight up 100% across the board AI. And it's scary.
And sometimes it's not bad. It's really upsetting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the last year they put out some AI Oasis music. And I was like, this is great. This is unreleased in Oasis. Oh no, it's
no.
Oasis. Yeah.
Isn't that scary though? But it's like, oh, actually it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. I mean, it's great to end the show anyway. Looking ahead to next year.
Yeah, brilliant. Depressed now.
Yeah. Anyway, that's really prime. Let us know your thoughts and all of that and more. Like, subscribe, leave comments. Dubsy, get well. Wonga, drive safe. And hopefully we're all back together tomorrow, or if not tomorrow, then Christmas Eve for our end of year show, but our Christmas show. A little Christmas quiz game show type thing, perhaps. It'd be a bit of fun. So I'm kind of sick and tired about talking about all the newsy stuff right now. I'm done with it. Time for a break. Really? Yeah, you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Trying to move. Big year coming up.
Big year coming up. Come on, 2026, 2025, go away. All right. Till next time. Bye. Cheers for listening.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter if we ever make one.
AI,
AI,
AI, AI, Captain.